everyone. How are you? How's the week coming along? I am super excited to talk to you about a very important topic. Everybody always gets confused about QBRs versus EBRs. And is there a difference? What's the difference? Should we even leave the Q in front of the BR? All of those questions we are going to dive in today to really give you a true north of what should you have in your arsenal of activities as you set up your customer success practice. And I have Mark Troyan from TSIA with me to banter on the topic. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Ree. Thanks so much for having me today. It's really exciting to be here, and it's really a pleasure to share some of our insights from TSIA with the audience. And then this topic is one that we discuss quite a bit with our members, and I'm really excited today to get your insights and pick your brain, Ree, because every single day there's a conversation that we have with a member, and I know you have with your customers, about how best should CSMs be engaging both with their day-to-day champions, but also with the executives that are responsible for those business outcomes that the CSMs are really trying to drive for their customers. So really excited to be here today. And thanks so much for the opportunity. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Yeah. So if anybody's listening and watching this video, if you're into improving your business reviews with customers and making sure it's optimized, you can't have more than what you have right now. Like, you have me who works with a lot of clients, and you have Mark who works with a lot of clients from TSIA. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back with all the tips, best practices, and what we're seeing, and answer hopefully a lot of questions that you might have already on your mind.
Well, thanks so much, Ree, for inviting me onto your channel today. This is really, really exciting. So when we talk about EBRs and QBRs, and I think most organizations are familiar with the term QBR, and the Q, of course, standing for quarterly business review. But EBRs, or executive business reviews, are just as important, but a lot of people get confused about what the differences are. And I'm curious, what do you see with your customers? You know, when you're working with customers and talking about, oh, are you having this engagement or that engagement? What do you typically see when they're struggling with the difference between a QBR and an EBR, or when should we engage with an executive, for example?
There's a couple of resources that I wanted to point out. We sort of like sat down with a bunch of clients and said, what is the difference between QBR and EBR as you practice it? And we put it all in a very short blog, an infographic that I would encourage anybody to kind of like download if they don't have clearance around that. But I think you can actually look at different points related to that to really clarify what is the difference between the two meetings. So first of all, like you said, from an accomplishment, what are we going to share? When I'm doing a QBR, I'm going to talk about the specific project, if we have an implementation or customization on ongoing maintenance and things that we're adjusting in the solution. That's what I'm going to focus on with a QBR. With an EBR, the outcome, the future long-term perspectives are going to be much, much more important. In terms of roadmap, you know, when we do product roadmap for QBRs, we're going to talk about upcoming features or features that were recently released. And out of, like, let's say I had a large number of features that were released in a QBR, I would pinpoint the ones that I think they should actually implement and explain why. I wouldn't do that in an EBR. In an EBR, I will talk about the high-level product roadmap. And then from a strategy standpoint, in a QBR, I might talk about, okay, what are the priorities for the team that I'm implementing the software right now? What is top of mind for the business lead? But when I talk about strategy in an EBR, like I said, I might bring the industry experts to talk about what are we seeing in the industry overall. I'm going to educate the executive. How do they benchmark against other companies overall in their digital transformation or whatever process that we're attached to? On my end, I would show them, how do you compare in your maturity of customer success to other companies overall so that they get a sense of what areas they need to focus on. Probably wouldn't do that in a QBR. And then in terms of business needs, we're trying to pinpoint additional use cases that might be applicable for them in a QBR. When we talk to executives, we can't talk about use cases pertaining to a specific department. We need to talk about, like, what is the go-to-market strategy for the company right now? And so the list goes on, different things where you shift the conversation, you shift the type of questions you ask different executives. And I think that just basically nails the difference. There's a big difference between the two meetings, in my humble opinion.
I agree. It's you know, one's very tactical, one's much more strategic in a sense. And obviously, senior executives care about all those different little things. All the details do add up. But do you see in the EBRs, you know, how do you get into operational metrics? Because I think about our members at TSIA, and some executives are very hands-on and some very much delegate and let their team sort of run things. You know, how much do you see with your customer base on those operational metrics?
So I would choose them carefully for the EBR. I would probably focus more on lagging indicators than the leading tactical project-based indicators. So less, did we hit the milestone on time? Did we finish configuring something on time? How many emails did we release? More about, okay, if we did all that, did we expect to reduce churn, increase revenues, reduce wastage, accelerate a process to be much faster, less than 30 days to 15 days? Like, how far are we in getting to that goal? What kind of progress we made? And that brings me back to a lot of companies when they begin to work with customers, they don't really align on what are the critical metrics that they should be tracking to identify success indicators. And then they find themselves coming to the EBR, not knowing what metrics they should be showing. They also get mixed up in, okay, if they think they know what metrics they probably should be tracking, they don't know the data because they never collected the baseline. And the customer might not be willing to share what the current state is. And so I think a little bit of a struggle sometimes. Now, there is a solution, but is this kind of like what you're seeing, Mark?
Yeah, it's really interesting you bring this up because we advocate, and we don't see this enough out of our membership, quite frankly, is the adoption of success plans. So a lot of people will talk about the customer journey. They'll talk about creating a customer life cycle. They'll make a pretty diagram. And one of the things in our research that we found is through our benchmarking process with our members, is that over 50% of our members create a customer journey map. So that's what we consider a common practice at TSA when more than 50% of the industry has adopted a certain sort of methodology or play, if you will, in this case, of creating the journey map. So companies go through the exercise, they create this beautiful thing that looks great, right? It's a circle, it's an infinity loop, it's got phases, it's got touch points or feedback from different groups within the organization, and then they shelve it. Because what we see is, although like over 50% of companies create this, only 24% of companies actually execute against that journey map, which is unbelievable. And as part of that journey map, one of the most important elements that people don't necessarily focus enough attention on is success plans. I think sales, generally speaking, are really good at creating account plans. And that's something that successful organizations that especially adopt value selling methodologies, they're constantly in asking the right questions, trying to put together a beautiful picture of what the future will look like after you adopt their technology or services. And when the post-sale team comes in, typically led by CS, a lot of times the sales team will have teed up this beautiful vision of the future, and perhaps CS isn't all that aware, or they're not able to carry that forward into more of a success plan. And so what we see is groups not being able to your point, even know what metrics to track. They're not asking those questions up front that they can then start to watch trends over time that may be improving or their customers are having challenges with. And ultimately, that's what we see from our members is the difficulty in tracking those trends and being able to translate that into tangible recommendations for their customers, so that they can take, hey, you know, you can look at any operational metrics as you suggested in a QBR with your day-to-day team at the customer site, but can you take those trends and articulate how that's really driving or impeding business value for an executive? That's a pretty big gap that we see in the industry at large.
First of all, there's a lot of success plans that don't include success indicators and don't include the actual values where, you know, things are now, or the customer just simply doesn't know.
Yeah.
I think the other mistake that I'm seeing is that we're not prescriptive enough with our customers. I think that we need to come in and say, these are the metrics most of our customers track. Does this make sense? Or even coming into the EBR and say, our customers typically see impact in these areas. What has been the impact for you? Are you seeing these kind of results? If they say no, then you can open the discussion up on how can we realign our priorities to get them those results. And if they say yes, then you got a validation of a value from a customer. Either way, it's a win. Or you're actually educating them on stuff they need to track, on metrics they need to track that they haven't thought about before. Either way, it's a win. We need to come with more prescriptive recommendations.
You're exactly right. Because I mean, you know, if you think about, again, it goes back to that value or that vision of the future that you've talked to the customer about, the sales team has then sold. It's a promise that's made pre-sale that you are then delivering on. And what's great is, let's just take the example of a software company. Customers don't just buy your software to fill a need anymore. It's not like the old days where you would buy a point solution and it addressed one sort of acute need that you had. You needed a word processor, you bought WordPerfect back in the day, right? It's not like that, right? You're typically buying a whole solution that's made up of not just software in this example, but also services, support functions, education and enablement services. There are all sorts of these ancillary benefits that your customers receive that can be a whole value prop that's packaged up together that you want to deliver against. And it's really, really important that you remember you're the expert. They didn't just buy your software to buy software. They bought it because of this holistic solution that you brought to the table. And why not remind them of the fact that, look, this is what we see from our other customers in the industry, and we see them being successful utilizing our products or services in ABC ways. Perhaps you would benefit from doing it this way. And then here's the value you would receive if we go down this path. Never be shy. Never be afraid to have that conversation, because you're using your products and services every single day with your other customers. And why not bring that to the table? I mean, it's, you're seeing it every day. They're using it on the, from the other perspective, they're getting benefit from it, but they could always be getting more. And a lot of times they don't even know the right question to ask on how they get more value, right? They'll always want to get more value for what they're paying. Every customer does. So how do you impart that wisdom and that knowledge that you've gained over time as a customer success manager or leader? And how can you help drive that value with those customers? That's something you're seeing where CSMs maybe get a little too, I don't want to say methodical, but a lot of times you have a hard time seeing the forest for the trees. You're just fighting fires so much. It's hard to see the big picture sometimes.
I think you're right. I think when things go really, really wrong, they're afraid to share additional use cases or advice. And I think tools like maturity scoring models and benchmarking facilities, like having a survey done with all your customers, just can bring this conversation up anyways. It just depends. And there's also a different way to share value discussions with the tactical team that you work with on a day-to-day basis versus when you actually do the EBR. And that's why I said, when you do an executive business review, you definitely don't want the CSM to lead that conversation, especially if you work with a very large company. I'm not talking about an executive business review you do with a mom and pop shop. Obviously, the CSM can lead that. But if your customers are very large companies and you do want somebody that's very high up, very senior, kind of want to bring their peer actually from your organization to lead that conversation and tell them, I'm working with a lot of executives at your level. This is what I'm seeing. You want to bring your industry experts. I mean, you do want to elevate that conversation when you talk about value. And so I think that needs to be tailored very carefully. I think what you shared is a common challenge for QBRs, especially when things go wrong. CSM would be very hesitant about sharing what other use cases and what additional value we can bring. They would very much be focused on, first of all, fixing things.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And when you were talking about having the peer relationship for the EBR, one of the things we see and we recommend, of course, at TSAA is doing what you just described, which is having a peer. It really does two things. First of all, they can speak at the same level because typically they're looking at the same metrics. They're thinking about how to grow the business. They're always looking a little further down the road, a little bit bigger picture. But also, more importantly, what it does for you as an organization is it creates another contact touch point. If you can get two executives on the schedule on a fairly regular basis, and you're doing your sort of day-to-day or your standard QBR kind of meetings with your customers, it just gives you two different avenues to have feedback. And yeah, a lot of times what we see from our members anecdotally is you'll get much more direct feedback from the executive to executive conversation. Because if you have folks that are a CSM or trying to talk to a senior executive, the senior executive might not be as open and forthcoming. They tend to like to talk to their peers, we find. I say it's anecdotal, but the reason I say that is because we hold two conferences a year. And at every conference, the number one thing our members want is to meet executives from other organizations.
Yes.
Either similar organizations or at least similar regions or something. They have something in common. They want to build that their own network and build that bond. And so this is another way to do that. It's another great way to build that bond. And if you get that bond at the senior executive level, that can make a lot of the future conversations a little bit smoother because they're more willing to say, oh, you know what we're really interested in can lead to expansion opportunities. Hey, we're really interested in doing ABC. Is that something you can help us with?
Yeah.
You probably aren't going to get that in a QBR. You're not going to be able to open some of those doors. So we find that very important, that executive level relationship. And again, it really brings in that second viewpoint. And so it gives you, I think, a much more holistic picture of what's going on at your customer, which is pretty cool. But that kind of begs the question then, okay, so you have these two different types of meetings led by two different people. So when you think about the type of questions or the type of conversation you want to have, you talked a little bit about the QBR, and we would agree what we see at TSAA is they tend to be fairly tactical, they're repeatable, they're consistent. To your point earlier, you want to show trends over time. But those executive conversations, in our experience, they tend to be a little more free form and of the moment. A lot of times executives just speak off the top of their head. What do you see with your customers? Do you see those kind of EBRs being more structured or a little bit more sort of free form and in the moment?
I would not recommend free form. Free form means that you give the control back to the customer and you may or may not get to your goals. Plus, the value that you're going to bring to the conversation, if the customer controls it, is going to be haphazard. Depends on what the customer wants to talk about. Why not just come in with a very clear agenda and a very clear intent on how you're going to deliver massive value to that executive in that meeting? If you have an agenda where you know, okay, I'm going to bring an industry solution to or an industry expert to talk about recent trends. I'm going to bring the VP of product to talk about our vision for our software solution in the next 5 years, whatever, or really big discussions. Now you can predict in a much higher probability level that the executive is going to get massive value out of the meeting. I had a video recorded with Disha Gosalia about EBRs or the QBRs that she attended. Essentially, it's an EBR at that point. Which ones she never comes back to. They keep inviting her. She's not coming back because she's a VP of customer success. You want my time. This can't be a free flow conversation. I want to know what it is that you're going to bring to the table that's worth my time. I don't have a lot of time. I have a lot of people, teams, customers to manage. Better be worth my time. So you can. I think you can do it once, that free form. And then if you were lucky, it was a massive value contribution to their time, great, they'll come again. But if you keep on doing it, most likely they'll stop coming in. They'll stop participating.
I completely agree with you. The EBR should have clear objectives from both sides. You as the provider, whether it's, again, as a vendor, as a partner, you want to bring information and results that you know that the executive is expecting. There are certain things they've probably laid out ahead of time, at least I would hope so. So you can bring some value to them and say, here's some of the great stuff we've been doing. Here's some of the things we're thinking about doing. We'd love to get your feedback on this. So you can make sure that you can give them what they're looking for. And that, but then you can also have some asks. And that's the other interesting thing to me is, again, don't be shy about asking. And as a CS executive, we see this at TSAA all the time, is we're always asking for member feedback. So whether it's we send out a survey, we ask people to serve on an advisory board. We just ask them to provide feedback on sort of the latest and greatest, the trends that we see in the space. I think the same can be true with your customers and the executives, where you can come with a set agenda, to your point, be very structured to make sure that you're providing value to them, but don't be afraid to have a couple of asks if it makes sense. Just make sure that you come in with a very clear ask. You have clear goal in mind and a timeline so that they can say yes or no, because to your point, their time is so limited that you want to make sure that they're ultimately going to get value out of the next session. So I like the idea of you have these very structured, but you've always got that set of topics then for the next time as well, if you're asking them to participate.
Yeah, no, I mean, clear agenda and a clear understanding of what is the value that you're going to bring to this conversation. I want to also add around the asks, I think it's such an important topic. What am I going to ask them for? There's different things you can ask the business lead when you do QBRs or the program lead when you do QBRs. And there's different asks you're going to have in an executive business review. And I just wanted to double click on that because it's not the same types of asks.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, from your QBR, it might be, hey, would you participate in survey that we're doing? Or would you participate in our advisory board? Give us feedback on the product, roadmap feedback, lots of sort of tactical. And you touched on a few of these
beta
points, the infographic. But then you come into the executive, it's completely different. Typically, it's an analyst. Maybe we'd like them to speak with an analyst, or it's something around joint presentation at a senior sort of leadership type conference. It could be anything, but it's typically going to be something that I would say is really sort of leading edge, driving the business, the industry forward, not so much the, can you help us with the nuts and bolts of our product, our service offerings.
What's the cadence in your opinion? QBR is like, I think it's either quarterly or at least twice a year. I have some projects where I actually meet with the executive every month because the project is very intense and it's not a year long, but that's from a services standpoint. I had to mention that because I know some folks are watching the YouTube channel that are not from a software company, so they might want to know. And then from an EBR standpoint, we typically recommend just doing it once a year, probably somewhere between the 6 to 3 months before the renewal or the first couple of months after the renewal. Either way is a good opportunity to meet and realign and certainly propose an ad hoc meeting where we feel like things are going wrong. So when the health of the customer starts to deteriorate and that there's a sense there might be a risk before it gets escalated too much, I would say that's an opportune time to suggest an executive alignment meeting because you do want to bubble it up and see. Sometimes the solution is not to fix a certain code, but it's actually have a reset of expectations and make some long-term decisions on the spot. And if we can reset expectations with that executive for a longer term vision, they might be a little bit more forgiving in the short term until we get all the technical issues sorted out.
That's a great point, Arit, because obviously you want to try to get in front of any issue as soon as you can. And reassuring an executive is very, very important. And that absolutely should be done at the senior level at your organization as well. So whether it's product or service company. The other thing too, we see, and of course we recommend this as well, is if your customer is quiet, if they go dark, if you aren't getting that feedback, you might still be getting the day-to-day feedback and even have QBRs, those regular business reviews. However, if you're getting no feedback from the top or that executive meeting, because it's so important to have the meeting, if it keeps getting pushed out or something like that and they go dark, that's obviously not a very good sign. So you really need to push to get those meetings. You never want to get to that point. You really want to make sure that both sides are getting value. You're providing a ton of value so that, to your point earlier, the executive comes back to the table again and again and again and is excited to hear about the progress that the team is making.
For clients of mine that have that issue where clients don't really want to come to a QBR or an EBR, they feel like it's a waste of time, actually redesign their journey for them. Instead of doing 2 QBRs and 1 EBR per year, we actually design 3 types of meetings and we name them something completely different and the agenda is completely different. Now, so now I have 3 value-based activities and it's very clear what the agenda and the goal of the meeting is. So for example, it could be industry benchmark overview. If I'm an executive, it's much more interesting to me to come to that meeting than just an executive business review. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. What's really great about that is it reestablishes that you have control of the situation as opposed to being 100% reactive. You're still bringing them value. You're just sort of packaging it in a way that brings them to the table and still continues to give you the opportunity to drive so that although you can be reactive when there's an issue, that's fine. You want to be as proactive at both ends of the spectrum, both day-to-day and at the executive level. You want to be able to drive the conversation. That's really brilliant. The cadence is something that I think varies from company to company. And I agree with your point earlier, you should do an EBR or the like at least once a year. Mm-hmm. But what you really should do is ask them what they want. Ask them what makes sense for you. Do you have the time? Are they invested? Do they want to spend the time? If they want to do it more frequently, that's great. And then to your point, package your value output, whatever that looks like, whatever the value messaging is for them, package that up in a way that makes the most sense to help you stay in control, be as proactive as possible, and yet deliver real value, make it interesting for them so that they keep coming back to the table. It's really brilliant.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. At the end of the day, it needs to be customer centric.
Yeah, have a set plan. Make sure you've got the right folks in the room. Make sure the message is on point. Make sure you're talking about the value that your customers care about. Get in front of any issues. But it's really about that. It's about having rigor. It's about having structure. It's about having consistency and delivering that value at the level that's appropriate for the right audience.
Well, Mark, it's been a pleasure talking about this topic with you.